text this morning. Joshua chapter 6 is where we're going to be at. And when you find your place, go ahead and stand. We'll read the first five verses this morning and then probably look at quite a bit of the passage. But Joshua chapter 6, you find that, go ahead and stand, please. Joshua chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 1, and we'll just read down to verse 5 this morning. All right. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Let's pray. Father, again we come to you, and we're just so thankful that you have given us the Word of God, realizing that it's really how we enjoy the relationship of you speaking to us and giving to us those things which are helpful. And Father, this morning I pray that our hearts would be attuned and ready to hear and receive what you have for us. Father, please go before us as you did Joshua. Make that path straight. Father, we need the victory. Satan would like nothing else than to destroy and divide and conquer. But we know that you're a great God and you have a purpose. And we ask that you'd go before us now. And we're just going to give you praise and thank you for all that you do in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I share with you a news story. Years ago, on March the 5th, 1990, a story was written in Time magazine entitled, Science, Score One for the Bible, because it tells of the validity of the destruction of Jericho. It says, for generations, scholars have debated whether the Israelites' assault on Jericho was fact or myth. And the late British archaeologist Kathleen Kenyon established in the 1950s that while the city, ancient city, was indeed destroyed, it happened around 1550 BC, or some 150 years before Joshua could have shown up. But archaeologist Bryant Wood, writing in the Biblical Archaeology Review, claims that Kenyon was wrong. Based on a reevaluation of her research, Wood says the city walls could have come tumbling down at just the right time to match the biblical account. Isn't that amazing that these people, they have to search things out? I have the Word of God. Now, I don't know the exact date this happened, but I believe it happened because God said it happened. See, science is searching out what God has already given to us. It's trying to understand it and to be able to apply it and understand what God has for us. And so when we study the Word of God, we know that it's true. We know that these things happen. Some people doubt that a person could ever be swallowed by a whale. And of course, that recently happened where the whale spit him out. I guess he didn't taste too good. Maybe he's too salty. You know, all that salt. I don't know. Or too bitter or something. But we know that Jonah, and I believe it, that he was in that whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights, just like the Bible says. I believe that this story that we're looking at today is not fiction, it is fact. And it's something that God has orchestrated for Joshua and his life. In Deuteronomy 34:9, when Moses was getting ready to leave the scene, the Bible says of Joshua that he was full of the spirit of wisdom. God had given him wisdom. Why? Because he was a servant of God. And God used him mightily in this book.
and the things that took place here. This was a big job, by the way. And remember, Joshua was one of the two when they initially went 40 years prior to this and spied out the land. And he came back and says, come on, let's take it. God said we can have it. It's ours. And Caleb was of the same mind. But those other 10 spies, they saw the giants. They looked at the world and saw what was in the world. They didn't see God. Their eyes were in the wrong direction. They were focused on the wrong thing. But Joshua, he knew that God could do what he said and what he promised. And this morning, as we look at this passage, I want to share with you three thoughts to think about. And of course, the title of the message is God's Care. In this case, it's for Joshua and the Israelites and others, we'll see. But we're going to see in the first part of this, we're going to see God's promise. You know, God's given every one of us a promise. And we're also going to see God's power. And we're also going to see God's grace. All three of those we need. And God has given to us. So as we look at this passage here, we see the promises revealed to his servant, Joshua. He told him that the city was already seized or straightly shut up. These people were afraid. According to a British archaeologist, he said Jericho was a formidable city. It had a double wall. The inner wall was 12 feet thick, and the outer wall was 6 feet thick. Now imagine that, to have to go up a city and fight this battle, and of course we're going to see what their weapons are. And it takes a lot of faith, a lot of trust to do this. You have to believe with all your heart that what God says is true. It's the same for us. You can't be saved if you don't believe with all your heart that what God says is true. And you come to that point in your life. But here we see the city was shut up, it said. And God had promised Joshua that he would be with the Israelites and walk with them. I want you to hold your place here and just walk over to chapter 1 for a second. Look at chapter 1. Again, this is the initial of the book, the promise. This is reiterated again from Deuteronomy. But here in Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 5. And this is God telling Joshua. He says, there shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a promise. To have God say, there'll be nobody that'll be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now he knew what this meant, because he walked with Moses. He saw all the things that took place. From the time they made the gold, before the time they left Egypt, but when they made the golden calf and all the things that took place, he was there. He saw God in Moses' life. What a promise. He says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And in verse 8 he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So here we see in the first chapter, they're given some promises to Joshua. And you know, God gives us promises as well. We think about this in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What a promise from God. We have that. That's for us. But God had already had a plan, and he already set it in motion. Look at verse 3 of chapter 6. Again it says, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. The city is prepared. Interesting enough, the number 7 is used. That number 7 is the number of completion. It's that number of perfection idea. You know, there were 6 days of creation. On the 7th day, God rested. There's 7 feasts, there's 7 seals, there's 7 trumpets, there's 7 vials in the book of Revelation. God has a sevenfold plan here as well. He told them to march around the city for 6 days, one time, blowing the trumpets. And he told them exactly how to line it up, the army, and then the priests with the trumpets, and then the ark, and then everybody else reward. And the ark of the covenant being in the midst of it, in front of the ark again, was the 7 priests carrying the trumpets, blowing them these 6 days. But on the 7th day, something's going to be different. And you can imagine, as you're thinking, and we'll probably get into this a little bit in a minute, but as these guys are going to be blowing these trumpets, these 7 circles around the city, the people in the city thinking, this is different. For 6 days, they did the same thing, and now on the 7th, they're doing something different. What does this mean? So they were to march around on the 7th day 7 times. They would be blowing the trumpet, and then they would blow a blast and make a shout. This is God's promise to them. This is His plan. It's a promise to Joshua of exactly how this plan was going to come to fruition. He was laying it out step by step. And I want you to know, sometimes we get apart and we get lonely or we get frustrated and we think God doesn't care or He's not around. My God is in the details. He's in all the details of my life, and He's in all the details of yours if you let Him. He's given details here to Joshua, specifically how he wanted something accomplished. So Joshua didn't really have to think much about this. He just had to organize it and put it together. That was his responsibility, was just to follow God's plan. And that's what we're going to see in the next part, is God's power being revealed in Joshua's obedience. You know, there's always power. God has all kinds of power, but He wants to reveal it in our obedience to Him. He's a powerful God. He loves us, but He wants us to love Him. And how we demonstrate our love to Him is that we obey Him. He defined that for us. That was His words. That's what you see in the Old Testament throughout, is God has given the Israelites a plan to live, and He just said, obey me. Now, we know how hard it is to obey Him. But you know, today Christians have something different. They had the Word of God, and they were just to obey that, even though there would be struggles along. We got a Spirit of God in us who are believers that will help us to obey Him. It's a different situation. But anyway, let's look at God's power. Let's look at what happens here. And you know, you've read the story, you heard the story many times, but it's amazing to me every time I read it, to see how God is working. And then to sit back and think, well, this is not just a fairy tale. This is not just fiction. This is not just a book I picked up and read. This is what God did in people's lives. The God that we serve today, the very same God. And I think, wow, we have a great God. In verse 6, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." Boy, think of those words. Think of all those people. And what did he tell them? Not to shout, but even more so, not to make a noise. Do you think God would have continued the plan if they were gabbing off to the side or they were running their mouths or talking about this stuff? I don't think so. We know, because we have the rest of the story of this Battle of Jericho, what takes place a little bit later on, because God is in the details. What he says, he means. And we see here Joshua following the plan exactly as God had laid it out. He went around that first day and he did the very thing that God had told him to do. The priest took the Ark of the Covenant. There were seven priests before it, blowing with the trumpets. The armed people were before them and all the others followed. And there was no talking, no gossiping, no whispering. None of that was going on. These people were obedient to what he said. And then we go to verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord and the priest going on and blowing it with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. So again, we see it's written again a second time exactly what they did. And they would continue that for 6 whole days. And so once they did that, then God had another plan. Now again, what if Joshua would have said, "Well, you know, we went did this 6 times. Let's just do it one more time. You know, we'll just do something a little different. Maybe we'll just go one time, we'll blow the horns, we'll do the thing, come back to the camp. Maybe we'll do it in the evening and come back and do the 7 times or something." Maybe he wanted to just change the plan. Maybe he decided, "Hey, the first 6 times, first 5 times you guys did such a good job that on the 6th time or the 7th time, y'all can talk. It's okay. You can do what you want, you know." I mean, there's so many things there that could have gone wrong. There's so many things that if anybody in that congregation or that group of people would have done that was out of order, would have made a difference in this battle. Because remember, they don't have guns. They don't have cannons. They're not lined up, and it's not the Battle of the Bulge. Most of you know about the Battle of the Bulge. It's none of that. It's about walking or marching around a city, blowing some trumpets, and not talking. Just doing what God said. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. So this is the 7th time they're compassing it 7 times. "And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout! For the Lord hath given you the city." Would we have shouted? I wonder what we would have done if we were in that group. You know, a lot of us are independent and want to do our own thing. You get a crowd that big, somebody's going to be independent. You know what I'm talking about? It's true, isn't it? I wonder if we would all would have done what he said and shouted, or some of us said, "I don't believe this, and I'm just going to hang back and see what happens." I don't know. But I believe everybody shouted. I believe every one of them did what they were supposed to do. I believe the priest blasted that trump. I believe they shouted in verse 17, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all therein to the Lord only." Excuse me, Lord. "Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." Verse 20, let's skip down, says, "And the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, what if they just blew the trumpet? Would that have worked? No. What if they just shouted? Would that have been okay? No. They had to do the whole thing, every bit of it. That's the God we serve. He's in the details. That's why we study the Scripture and we learn about who He is and what He expects from us. Because why? I want to please Him. Now, before I got saved, I didn't care anything about God. I didn't care anything about the Word of God. I believed it was the Bible, but I didn't care about following it or trusting it or looking at it. Didn't care anything about those things. It wasn't until after I got saved and started learning and growing and realizing this is God's Word to me. Bruce Townsend, this is for me personally. This is God's personal letter to me as a Christian. To get in here and find out what He wants me to do and what He's trying to teach me. And you learn so much. You learn about His plan for your life, and you learn about the power He has that He wants to give you to live this life. It's a different life than the old life was. It's not like that at all. We're not part of this world anymore. This is just a place we're passing through. That's a hard mindset, isn't it? That's hard for me to get sometimes. This is really not my place. I'm just passing through. But that's what it is. And He's given us an opportunity to do something. He's given us the power to do it. So here we see they followed God and doing everything that He said. And when they did that, the walls fell down flat. And they conquered the city. Now, God had already prepared all of this prior to this ever happening. Turn to Joshua chapter 2 for just a second. Just flip back to chapter 2. Remember, He sent spies to go check out the city and all that, and He met a person there, Rahab. Now, Rahab, she put herself in a difficult situation, we'll see in a minute. But look at verse 9. See how the city's prepared for this. In verse 9, this is Rahab, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. God had already prepared this because it was God's plan. God is preparing people today because He has a plan. God has something for us, and He's giving us this power as well. He's given us the power to have the opportunity to do that which He's called us to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We have power today to do what God has called us to do. Just as Joshua had power to accomplish what God had called him to do. And why did Joshua succeed at this? Why did he have this success? Is because he was willing to follow God's plan. He didn't come up with another one. I can't see or visualize Joshua going to his tent and having a sheet of paper and writing down there things like, well, hold it, maybe we can do this and we can do this and maybe we can do it this way. You know, maybe if we just try doing it this way, maybe if we come over the walls and get them or something. I don't think he did that. But that's what sometimes I do. God has a plan. I go, well, hold it. Let me see here. Maybe we can do it this way. God says, here's the way you do it. And when we do it our way, you know what happens? The power is diminished. Because the power comes from God. It's God who gives the power to accomplish His will. He's doing this in Joshua's life here. They did everything that God had said. And they saw the walls fall down. And the archaeologist can confirm that they fell down. Sometimes it's hard to believe. I hope we as Christians have faith that what the Word of God says is true. And we can defend that and say, yes, this is true. I don't care what you believe. But my God did this. And he used Joshua to do it. Just like he wants to use us. It was a miraculous happening. But he also told them something in chapter 6, which I skipped over. But we need to be reminded of it because there was a failure in this. In verse 18 of chapter 6, he says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." He says, leave all this stuff alone. And then he says in verse 19, "But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." This reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." This is the first city that they're battling against. And this is the principle of first fruits, I think. God gave them this city, and he said, "The treasures are mine. Don't take them." And so he told them not to do that. And we know what happened because of that. There was somebody who disobeyed. And through his disobedience, what happened to him? He was stoned. His family was stoned. His cattle was stoned. Everything was stoned and killed. Why did that happen? Because one person decided that he saw all that was there and he was covetous. Nobody's going to miss a little wedge of gold. Nobody's going to miss a little purplish garment. They're not going to miss that. But the problem is, God knew every single ounce of gold in that city. He knew everything that was there. You can't rob from God. And that's exactly what happened here. Achan is his name. And he was Achan after it was over. But nonetheless, so we see God's power in this. You know, there are other people that because of pride disobeyed God. Nebuchadnezzar was one of those men that he had just learned about God and he worshiped God when he sent the three Jewish boys into the fiery flame and he saw four in there and he realized there is a God. The very next chapter, though, and this is some years later, he had a dream about this tree that grew tall and strong and the height reached to the heavens. The leaves were fair. The fruit was good. There was all kinds of things that was good about this. And it was food for all. And then in that dream, the Holy One of Heaven came down and cut that tree and left the root. And there's just the stump. He left the stump. And he told him that his heart would be changed from a man to a beast. And he also used the word, or the number seven. He says, until seven times pass over him. And so he couldn't find anybody that can tell him what the dream was. And so finally Daniel came and Belshazzar, and he told him the dream and he told him exactly what it meant. He interpreted it for him. He told him it was about him. The kingdom would be sure, but that he would be a beast in the field and eating grass. Now, 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar is walking in his castle, I guess, and he looks and he sees this stuff and he said, "Boy, look what I've done. I did this." And just like that, he was turned from a man to a beast, eating the grass. His nails grew longer. Why that happened? Because of his pride. Look at what I can do. Look at what I accomplished. Where's God in that? If, as a servant of God, it is God who's allowed me to accomplish anything that I've... Let's give Him the glory for what I am accomplishing, what I am doing, what I am capable of. It is only through God that I can do that. Everything I've ever done. Now, did I recognize God? No, but when I look back on my life and the opportunities I had to, as an engineer and different things I've done in my life, I can look back and look at it and say, God was in all of that. Although He may not have gotten glory through all of that, because I did it. David's a good example of somebody being discontent and covetous. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, he saw a lady on a rooftop. And so he decided to go get her. He should have been at war. That's where he belonged. But He was covetous. He was discontented. Of course, it ruined his life because of that. But here, Joshua, he was a humble man. He trusted God. He walked with God. He did what God said. And through this, it is God that exalted Joshua. See, God does the exalting, not man. And you see that in our society all day long, that we want to exalt ourselves and anybody else, but not God. In fact, we don't want to talk about God. If we desire success in this world as Christians, we have to follow God. Remember Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That we may know what to do, that thou mayest observest to do according to all that is written therein. How are we going to know what to do if we're not willing to look at the letter that God's given us, the book? According to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God wants you to be successful. He's given us the power to be successful. I'm not talking about in this life as having lots of things. That's not success in God's eyes. That's just the opposite. Success in God's lives often leads to suffering and difficulties, but it's doing His bidding, His work. Look what happens. Let's see God's grace. We need to see that this morning. Look at verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. God's grace in saving Rahab and her family. Why did this happen? For the same reason that it happens to everybody else. You have to believe. You have to have faith in God. We already saw in chapter 2. Go ahead and flip back there for a second. We just see here what it would have cost her. It could have cost her life. In chapter 2, look at verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof. Now I'm going to read this again. I want you to see her faith here. I want you to see her belief. And she said unto the men, I know. That's the same thing for each one of us. I know that God is who He said He is. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not deserving. I'm not worthy. I know that God has provided a way, and it's through Jesus Christ. I know that. I believe that with all my heart. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, look what she says here, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. He is God. What a testimony. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. So here, her faith was demonstrated and God's grace was revealed because he got her out of this city and got her family out of this city. And it was because she believed. This morning, we too can experience God's care. We can see and believe in God's promises to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can believe that promise. That is a direct promise from God to you, to me, to everyone. Sometimes it's hard for people to see that because they don't understand. They don't have the fear of the Lord. And it has to come from something or somewhere. How important is the Word of God? So when you believe in the promises of God and understanding, then you can believe in the power of God. You know, I'm reminded of John chapter 1, verse 11. But he came unto his own received him not. But as many as that believed on him, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so again, that belief that God is who he says he is, belief that Jesus is God and he's here for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring us back to God because he loves us that much. The Bible teaches us, but he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we're thinking here, and most of you may be thinking, I don't know what you're thinking, but you could be saying, Pastor, I know all this stuff, but does your neighbor know this? Do your friends know this? Do those people you work with know this? You know it, but who doesn't know it? Who needs to know it? We know the answer to that. It's everyone. It will change your life. It'll change their life, literally. It is believing in God's power, but also God's grace. You know, grace was given to us when he sent Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That word grace is God's unmerited favor. He gave that to us by sending Jesus. If you ever want to try to understand what love means, look at the cross. There's love. There's a love that it's just sometimes even hard to fathom and understand. But God putting Jesus on the cross to shed his blood for my sin, me personally. There's love there. We need grace to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, no matter how hard you try to get to heaven, I don't care if you build a big old city, you can't get there. They tried that once. Didn't work. The only way to get to God is through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. There's not multiple paths. There's not anything to climb or anything to dig or anything to go around. It's just to look to Jesus. There's grace there. God's favor's there. Just like as God told Joshua specifically how to conquer that city, God is dogmatic about salvation. He doesn't give options in this. He doesn't say, just choose your own way. It's the same thing with the life we live. He still tells us how to do that. Although we all come away with different interpretations or the way we want to view it, God has a way for us. And it's pretty detailed if we get in there and study things out. And he will speak to me and he'll speak to you. And he may have you do something a little different than I do because he knows you and he has a personal relationship with you. We're all called to do something for God. And then the difficult situation you're in today, the heartache and the things you're going through, there's grace in time of need. God's unmerited favor. In Hebrews 4:16, we're reminded, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? that we may obtain mercy. I need mercy. I'm so grateful for His mercy. If He wasn't merciful, I wouldn't be here today. He says, and to find grace to help in time of need. What is that grace? That's God's unmerited favor. Thank you. And He wants you to have that today and experience it in your life when you're going through the difficulties. God, I just can't handle this situation. God, this is a difficult time in my life, and I'm struggling here, and I just sometimes, now I'm guilty of this, instead of going to God, I leave God on the shelf. And just say, I'll go figure out another way to do this. It never works. Because if I want to know God's plan and what He wants to respond to my prayers, this is where I need to go. This is where He's going to show me and respond to what I'm going through and help me to go through that. That's why I love the Psalms, and we try to read a Psalm or most every Sunday, is because the Psalms, they're David's heart poured out to God, and they're there for us as well to see what kind of a relationship a man of God has, or a man after God's own heart. I want that relationship. I want to be fresh and real. And there's grace in that. We know that any difficult situation we come to, we can go to the Lord. In Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, he says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need this grace. I need the power of God in my life. I need the grace of God in my life. And I want to know what the plan He has for me is every day. Why? Because as Joshua, you and I, who are born again, are called to be servants of Christ. That means not serve ourselves, but serve the Lord. And the first place we got to go is to God to see what He wants us to do. We can do a lot of things, but they're not all necessarily right. Even good things aren't right for a Christian sometimes, if that's not what God wants us to do. Joshua could have had a plan, could have done a lot of things that were good during this battle, but that wasn't God's plan. God gave grace in His specific plan, and the walls came tumbling down. And when Achan disobeyed, Achan ended up in a situation where the Bible says all of Israel had sinned because of one man's disobedience. How powerful it is to not to follow God. Let's go to one more place and we will close in a word of prayer. Go to Titus. Let's see the grace of God. In Titus chapter 2. Paul's writing to a preacher. As Timothy, he was somebody that Paul put his arm around and brought him up and taught him, because he knew that it would be a difficult time, especially in the time they live as it is today. But he taught him some things. And he said in verse 11, and this is true. He said, for the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now we know nobody is going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. It's not going to happen. Romans chapter 1 tells us that. But then he goes on and says, what the word of God, the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men, what has he given us? Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And what he's saying is, we live soberly, we live godly, we deny this world, and there are going to be some difficult things that take place. But we want to speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Where does that authority come from? The Word of God. The grace of God has given us this. It's His unmerited favor. And He just wants us to return it by trusting Him and walking with Him. Look to the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What's the plan? And then go here and He'll show you. That's the way it works. He showed Joshua, He'll show you as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the Word of God. And as we look at Joshua, we see you had a plan for him. You gave him clear instructions. You gave him some promises. And then, Father, we saw the power as he followed and obeyed. And then we see the grace as you saved the Israelites, destroyed the city, and then you took a Gentile, Rahab, out of that city, out of the world, Father, and brought her to yourself. Father, today you want to bring somebody to yourself. There's somebody in this room that needs to be saved. I don't know who you're speaking to. I don't know what the Word of God is dealing with somebody. Father, if He's speaking to anybody in this room about anything, I pray that we would submit and surrender to it. Accept the grace that is offered, and that we would trust you in it. Father, have your way in each one of our lives. We ask you to go before us as you did with Joshua. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.